This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com. Think you know who the Pats will take in the first round? Want to know what positions the team is targeting? We'll let you know what we think. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Draft Prospect Review Podcast with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Another Patriots.com podcast prospect review in which we preview the prospects in the upcoming 2009 NFL draft. Paul Perillo,
we couldn't even wait to get started today, 2G.
Yeah, we've been arguing for the last 20 minutes
about anything but the NFL draft.
But for the next few minutes, we will in fact discuss the prospects that will be available this April when the New England Patriots are just loading up on picks, especially in the second round where they have a trio. They have a first-round pick. They now have the 34th pick in the draft, courtesy of Matt Cassel being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. And regardless of what you thought of that trade, we're here to focus on the fact that they have that pick. It's one of the many they have. And we're going to begin to dive into the prospects that will be available. Speaking of quarterbacks named Matt Cassel, there are a lot of theorists out there that thought he was better than the top two quarterback prospects in this year's draft. And that's the position we're going to focus on today for this podcast. Of course, I speak of Georgia's strong-armed Matthew Stafford, who, as Eric knows, chose not to throw at the recently completed scouting combine in Indy.
Chose to do everything else. Talked.
I just don't get it.
Said all the right things.
I've heard Mel Kiper describe his arm as he would have been the first player taken out of high school. He has that kind of arm. And yet, you have the chance in front of not just every coach, not just every GM, but everybody, the entire football world. You know, remember Deion Sanders runs a 40, and even Bill says it was one of the things that he remembers that wowed him at the combine. He ran the 40, ran out the tunnel, and you never saw him again.
Right.
Matthew Stafford had the chance to do that with his arm. You know, hit a receiver in the chest, leave one of those X's that John Elway used to leave, and you wow somebody into maybe picking you a spot higher, and you make more money. Instead, he made a decision based on some advice, apparently discussing it with his agent, to wait for his pro day later on in March, where he will throw at the University of Georgia to receivers I guess he's comfortable with, feeling like he'll do a better job. But I'm not sure how that helped him, because the guy he's competing with at the top of the draft, USC's supposedly inexperienced Mark Sanchez,
he went and
said,
threw.
I have to throw.
Sure.
I'm too competitive. That's what I have to do. And to me, regardless of how he threw, that earned him points with some people, because he's a competitor. He has to prove himself.
It earns points with me if any of these guys at any position do everything at the combine, because that's basically the job interview for all 32 teams. If you're saying you're not ready to do any one of these things, or you prefer to do it another time, then you're not ready.
Right.
And in my mind, I'd rather see a guy who says, hey, I got nothing to hide, I'll do it, fine, whatever, sure.
Especially at the top of the draft. I mean, in theory, if you're considering Matthew Stafford, you're the Detroit Lions, first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, I'll bring you into the discussion. You over there?
I am.
Is that thing on? Tap it for me.
Well, I was letting you guys set the table.
At the number one overall pick, you're looking for special. You're looking for Peyton Manning. You're looking for a decade-plus superstar. And to me, those guys, more often than not, roll out of bed, and they're good.
Well,
they can do what they do.
And I would.
I don't think Michael Jordan ever said, you know, I can't shoot today. I can't dunk.
I'm not going to conduct that personal workout for the scouts.
Right.
You know, and I think in particular with Eric that I agree with his quarterbacks. Because you made the point, Andy, that Kiper said that Stafford's the kind of guy, he has such a special arm that as a high school kid, he may have been the number one draft pick overall. Well, that doesn't just go away. You know, that doesn't go into a slump. You know, whether you're fully prepared for the rigors of what the combine workout is going to entail, you should be able to throw the football at an NFL level if you have that kind of an arm. And it doesn't make any sense to me that you wouldn't want to do that. Let's face it. If you have problems throwing the football as a prospective NFL quarterback, they're going to find out sometime before you get drafted. They're going to watch your pro day. They're going to watch you on tape for the last 4 years or 3 years in Stafford's case. They're going to know. So I don't know what you're trying to hide as a quarterback. The other guys, look, to each his own. If you're not quite ready to run a 40-yard dash and you're a corner or a wide receiver where, you know, a hundredth of a second could affect your draft status, if you're not ready to go physically, all right, I can understand that. But Quarterbacks, I don't get it.
And the other thing is, I would give the NFL evaluators the credit that I think they deserve in evaluating a prospect. And if they see a guy who's throwing a 15-yard out, and if he puts the ball on the money, regardless of where the receiver is, he'll say, the throw was on the money. The receiver was late getting there, bad break,
they know.
Whatever.
They know.
It's not like they say, well, you know, four of his balls hit the ground, only two of Sanchez's
those
hit
are
the
my,
ground.
Those are the most laughable comments when we read the pro day reviews from people, and they say, he had 75 passes and only one hit the ground. Well, the ball should never hit the ground.
So is Stafford saying he needs his Georgia receivers who know that, well, on a 15-yard comeback, he's always 3 yards short.
Right.
He never throws it the full 15, so I got to cover up for him.
How many times do we watch training camp drills and we watch those, you know, the shell drill where they do with the five receivers and the ball never hits the ground.
Right.
And matter of fact, the few times that it does qualifies as one of those days where we say, you know, they were a little sloppy today. The ball, you know, it seemed like the execution was a little off, not just in those drills, but it usually carries over. The ball, let's face it, Andy's absolutely right. You can tell when a guy can make a throw by just him throwing the football. You can tell if he has the ability to make the throw. If the receiver isn't quite at the same caliber as the quarterback, the NFL talent evaluators recognize that.
Bottom line, neither guy is a franchise quarterback in my mind.
Just looking at Stafford, I would never have gotten the impression, ooh, that guy's got the strongest arm I've ever seen.
Right.
He doesn't look it.
He doesn't have the height for the, you know, he's not the whatever Drew was, 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah.
He actually is 6'2", despite being listed.
Both of these guys are less than 6'3".
So that's part of it to me.
Right on the edge.
They're short. They're, you know, Stafford has the more experience. I think he started like 39 games at Georgia because he was great.
16
games, and he joked, you know, more starts than Matt Castle. And the guy, I was very impressed with both of them at the media angle of it,
people.
The press conference.
Yeah.
Really liked Sanchez, everything he had to say, but I don't really like him as a player. I think both guys have a chance to be NFL quarterbacks, but as we started this, I say, you know, you're looking special. You're looking for a franchise guy at the top of the draft to lead your team forever. I wouldn't take either guy with that in mind.
But to me,
they're nice late first, early seconds.
But I think of the two, Stafford probably has the better chance of being the guy
who
is thought of as that guy and
just
is probably
like
going to go
Russell.
In the top five.
He's got a cannon. You know what strong arms get you? Drafted.
Well,
you know what they get in the NFL? Nothing.
I think he has a different arm than Jamarcus Russell. I think he has a much better arm than Jamarcus Russell.
But strong arm gets you drafted.
It doesn't
get you anywhere once you're on the field.
The strong arm that Russell has, he could throw the ball a mile. There's no quit. But I watch
this guy. I need him to throw the out.
Well, he can throw it. He just has to start on Tuesday, and by Sunday he'll throw that out.
And I watch this guy, Stafford, throw the ball on a line, and he makes all the throws that you need to make. The question that you have about both of these guys that you don't know is the mental capacity and whether or not they're reading defenses and how they're doing in that.
By all accounts,
Stafford struggles in that department.
Finds a receiver, locks on receiver, throws to receiver.
And his statistics would tend to illustrate that because he has been a bit mistake prone. They've had some good teams. Georgia has good talent. Now USC obviously has
the best talent
in the nation every year, but yet still find a way to lose a game in the woeful Pac-10.
Bitter man, Paul.
I don't know. That
bitter
might,
man.
Some might say that's part coaching.
Some might.
Some in this case would be Paul.
Right.
I would say that. But
it's a lot of some.
With Stafford, I think that he can make all the throws, but I'm not sure about his – what did you say, late first round, second round
guys? I'd love him there, sure.
Yeah.
I would agree
Fortunately,
with that.
Fortunately, he's
not
potentially going to go in the top three.
There's a chance that both of these guys go in the top 10. Stafford, you know, pretty much for sure.
Someone will be disappointed. But we're going to move on to some of the other prospects. Second rounders. Two very different guys. Probably could not be any more different, Paul, because you have Josh Freeman out of Kansas State, who's
good size,
big, tall, strong arm, has all that going for him. And you have Pat White, who's short, left-handed, strange motion, and it's a black mark. It's against the guy. I mean, I'm sorry.
It is. As a former left-handed quarterback way back in the day, it's a black mark.
It is what it is. And he's going to probably make his money. I like his attitude. I want to be a quarterback, but I want to get on the field.
No chance.
He's not just, there's some guys that, I'm only going to be a quarterback. He's open
Eric
to
Crouch.
Running the, right, he's open to running the Wildcat. He's open to getting in the slot if he wants, but he's going to do that while saying, but I'd still like to go back to quarterback at some point, coach. Mm-hmm. And I think he's an intriguing guy, and I think he is because of the spread of the Wildcat, and people are saying, okay, everybody ran it this year, but when they get a guy who can run and throw, well, now and he can throw well enough. If a guy gets beat, he can hit the guy. It's not like he's never thrown the ball before. He actually people were relatively impressed with his throwing at the combine, but I think they went in with pretty low expectations, and that's part of it. So, but he's going to be a second-round pick, and do you draft a slash in the second round?
Well, if you're the Patriots and you have three of those second-round picks, and a guy like, say, Percy Harvin has already been taken, then maybe middle, later in the second round, if that Pat White type
intrigued.
Is around, I'd say maybe.
I think he might be right.
You know. Oh, certainly. The only thing is whether Bill's waiting for his boyfriend, Tim Tebow, next year.
Well, that's why I think he might be right. All of this stuff that we've supposedly heard that Bill has been somewhat infatuated with Tebow and that type of player and what he might be able to do.
But is White big enough?
I don't know. Now, you're
telling
me.
I think Bill assumes that Tebow can take the pounding of running the Wildcat. I'm not sure White can take the pounding.
Yeah, White listed as 6 feet 190 in the the magazines.
You two guys.
Probably a little bit smaller than that.
You two guys.
He's teeny.
Being experts.
He's Eric Scalavino teeny.
Well, come on. Let's not go that far.
Being combine experts, you two guys are telling me that that's where he is supposed to go, second round.
He's
at best.
Because I would agree with your reticence, so to speak. If it's strictly as a guy that you want to use in the Wildcat situation or as a slash type player, can you take him in the second round? I'm not sure you can take him that high.
I
am intrigued with the overall skill set and how Belichick might be able to use said skill set.
Does
in,
what
in
Eric
the
said
offense.
Weigh into it, having extra second round picks?
Why not?
Because
I know
it's still a second round pick.
But they wouldn't admit that, but I got to think that it does allow
you
to take maybe
more
of a gamble.
As a four. Does that allow, say
well,
he's
no.
not going to be here?
If you
I
haven't
I, but I can take
as
a,
if you haven't valued as a four, you can't take him just because you have
to me,
three
you need
twos.
To stick to your board. And in the second round, even though you have three of them, you need to get three second round picks,
that
not a guy
you
would have gotten in the fourth.
That means you have three guys discernibly higher ranked than,
right.
than
right.
your fourth round guy. Mm-hmm. You have to do that. I agree.
Okay. But I think he's intriguing. I also think Freeman's intriguing, and I think he could end up being the best in the draft.
And he's big, though.
He's
unlike
size.
The other guys.
He's good-sized guys.
Prototypical is what I would use to describe him. But I think he's a little raw. I think there's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm. They didn't win a lot either.
No. But, you know, that happens. Jay Cutler didn't win a lot.
With a terrible program.
Talent. Right. I don't think Kansas State is great.
They're not Vanderbilt.
No, they're not Vanderbilt.
They didn't go 50 years between bowl wins.
I pretend I'm an expert on their roster top to bottom, but I don't think they're USC and Georgia.
Oh, no.
That'd be my point.
No.
If you put him at USC and Georgia, I think maybe he would have had more success as a player. But I think he's interesting. Somebody will get a decent player, and as I said, maybe the best quarterback in the draft in the second round. Now!
Do we get to any Patriots? Any chance, you think?
Yes!
Patriots guys?
Wow, Paul wants to jump right to the Patriot guy. I was going to ease into that.
Oh, okay.
You know, stick a little big toe in the water and see how warm it is. But it's hot! Tom Brandstater, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that name.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of reasons.
TB.
Big dude.
TB
loves Tom Brady.
Two.
Actually, I don't think he meant it this way, but it says, came from behind. I could see myself taking that path.
A very arrogant quote that I'm sure.
So wait,
sure
you see yourself going from
like
Fresno
that.
State to two-time Super Bowl MVP marrying Giselle?
Yes.
Is that
we're
taking?
It was a very arrogant statement that I'm sure was not meant to come off that
but
way. Let
it
didn't
come off
badly.
That way. No,
it's like, you know, I don't know if you guys saw any of Castle's stuff in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yes.
They asked him about Bernard Pollard.
Yes.
He said, I'll have to go up and
thank him for the opportunity.
You know, you read that on paper, and it sounds like
a
classless thing to say. But
he
was joking. You know he was joking.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
But Tom Brandstater, 6'5", 220, 4'8", and even more intriguing, our friends over at NFLDraftScout.com, in their little write-up of him, say some scouts compare him as a combination of Joe Flacco and
Tom Brady,
Eric's favorite quarterback.
Kevin O'Connell.
Yes.
Ooh.
Interesting.
See, I would have thought you would have gone with Ben Roethlisberger there. I knew the answer because he had already showed it to me.
So will the Pat Hill connection, the comparisons to Kevin O'Connell, the prototypical size, and the fact that he's potentially let me see where DraftScout has him.
Sixth to seventh round. Yep.
I mean, there's a lot there that would lead you to believe next in, I don't think, is
as
Matt Gutierrez the guy?
I mean,
you
got
to fall somebody else in line for that number three spot. Boom, 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 everybody's bumping. The one is Brady, the two is O'Connell.
Yeah.
And maybe they sign a veteran, but if they don't, maybe it's Tom Brandstater.
Wow.
How about Rhett Bomar?
Very talented.
He started at Oklahoma.
Man. Right. Very talented young man, 6'2", 224, decent 40 time, mid-round pick. I'm just intrigued. If I'm going to take a late-round pick, Paul, I like prototypical. You know, I like the
if I'm going to have a guy who can't play, he's going to look the part.
Exactly. <That's right. laughs> At least you can get by with, yeah, he looked like a quarterback. Yeah. Who knew he couldn't play?
Yeah. Brandstater's a guy, by the way, that you're buying very low because right. he was a guy heading into his senior year that a lot of people were pretty high on, and he had a disappointing senior year.
I'm all about buying low and selling high. The name Matt Cassel would fall into that category. Maybe 4 years from now, the name Tom Brandstater will fall into that category, Paul. I'm just saying.
That's all you ever do.
As Eric pointed out, when they draft Fresno State prospects, they become very good Patriots. An example would be James Sanders.
Logan Mankins.
Oh yeah, him too.
All two of them.
Two for two. You want to get Florida out? See how we do there? Said Chad Jackson, 0 for 1. Thank you. No more questions. Any other quarterbacks you want to talk about, Eric?
I tell you who I'm not impressed with. Nate Davis, Ball State.
Nate Davis is a gamer.
Would not touch
him. Not going to look good in the practice field.
No.
He's a guy that looks much better in games than he does in practice.
I hate gamers, just so you know.
Well, he's not. He's crazy. He left early, too. He's an early entry. He had a nice year at Ball State, and he's a pretty athletic kid that does a lot of different things, but I kind of agree with Andy and Eric.
And another guy, hot topic kind of guy, Paul Perillo. I know you've seen him play often. I know you've had discussions with young Wes Welker about him, Texas Tech productive phenom Graham Harrell. Do tell.
Well, just in talking to Wes a little bit about him, wasn't sure that much like the Texas Tech
first
guys.
First name or basis here? Well, you and Wes, did you have a beer while you were talking?
Well, you had just said Wes Welker, so you know, I figured.
So what do you think about Graham under Mike's system while throwing to Mike?
What are we? We all work for the Sporting News now?
Go ahead. Crabtree, that was Leach.
In talking to Wesley Welker, he didn't really seem to think that Harrell had maybe the prototypical NFL arm strength. Still, you know, I asked him, a lot of those Texas Tech guys that succeed in the spread offense, the knock on them is they're kind of system guys. They don't really have the overall skill set. I thought that maybe this guy was a little bit different. Wes didn't really seem like he was on board with that.
Paul, I want to throw a couple other names out there at you because you are a resident low-level football expert. Kid out of Harvard.
That's a backhanded compliment
I don't know if I ever heard one. Out of Harvard. The kid from Reading?
Chris Pizzotti.
Pizzotti?
6'6", 225.
He's from Reading, right?
How the hell would I know? He's from Harvard. At this point in your career, you're from the school you played at.
He's had some great games against Brown.
We all.
Well, no. But
a lot of guys lit up the Ivy League.
A lot of guys lit up the Ivy League.
Playing against Brown.
But looking at that size, you know, Harvard's got another guy in a defensive back who's looking to get into the NFL, too.
We were doing quarterbacks today.
No,
we'll get to him when we do defensive backs.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's rare that the Ivy League has more than one prospect.
Eric wants to go into other positions. One other guy, Paul, I want to throw at you.
I don't know much about Chris Pizzotti.
I do know who he is, Graham Harrell.
From Reading. Poor man's Graham Harrell is?
I don't know. Chase Daniel, another spread system guy who has the market cornered on short, fat guy. He's like chubby face, short, fat
he
guy.
He needs to lose some weight if he wants to play in the league.
He reminds me of the punter from Denver, formerly of the Patriots, short,
Todd
stocky
Sauerbrunn.
Oh, Todd Sauerbrunn. Yeah.
Those big chubby cheeks.
Graham Harrell, every time I've seen Graham Harrell, he's reminded me of another former Texas Tech quarterback who was, in fact, with the Patriots for
Clifford?
A short time. Yes.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, I thought it was
so,
the first name.
They're all the same. Cliff Kingsbury, B.J. Simons.
So Graham Harrell is, they are all the same. I mean, that's the question with him. Are they all the same?
Well, according to Welker, I would say, yeah.
Okay, Wes Welker says Graham Harrell can't play, according to Paul Perillo.
We'll throw it up poor on Wes.
Andy Hart says Tom Brandstater will be a Patriot come draft weekend.
Well, I don't know if he'll be a Patriot,
and Eric Scalavino,
like,
who is really excited to talk defensive backs, especially
Pat
the kid
White.
From Harvard.
Eric's thing is Pat White.
Okay, Eric likes Pat White because if you have extra second-round picks, you'll waste them on a guy you may have
then
taken
we can
in the
call
fourth
him,
round.
Then we can call him Patty, and he can go with O'Brien and all the rest.
That
we'll be all
music
set.
Means we're going to wrap up this
Patriots.com
podcast in
debacle.
Which we
really got away
call it
us.
A review, but we preview the prospects. Next week, we will be back with another position, and I'm going to say it right now, it'll be running backs, an intriguing position. Will the Patriots add some youth to what is already a crowded committee in the backfield? For Paul Perillo, for Eric Scalavino, for 2G Behind the Glass, that's going to do it for this podcast.
Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.